Good place to start. There's a number of good places. I'll go to the second best place after this to start after I get out of Thessalonians. But in 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 3, you want to know what the will of God is? Somebody says, well, I'd like to know what the will of God is. Well, it tells you right here. For this is the will of God. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. God wants you to be sanctified. That you should abstain from fornication, and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, that's your body, which is a temple of the Holy Ghost, in sanctification and honor. Unless you sanctify it, it won't be in honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, that's a strange 75-cent word that means being lewd or lustful or immoral, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness. God didn't call us to continue in our old unclean, unregenerate ways. He called us unto holiness. And he therefore that despiseth, that is holiness, despiseth not man, not the man that preaches it, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Now as touching, he continues, brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. He opens up 2 Thessalonians with that same vein of thought and Holy Ghost exhortation that for us to increase. And that's what Paul's always talking about. Us growing, increasing in knowledge, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, in growing in grace and so forth. Headed for perfection. Now let's turn back to the third chapter, just briefly. Two verses. 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 12 and 13. And the Lord make you to increase, see there, same line of thought. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Why? To the end. See, God has a purpose in everything he does. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. Unblameable means without sin. No charge can be laid to you by the Holy Ghost or his angels that there's sin in your life or rebellion. To the end, he may establish you. That means to nail it down, settle it once for all. Establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And certainly that is the purpose of God saving us and giving us a new heart and a new spirit, is so we can live a life of true holiness. And I want you to turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. There's a definition here, an explanation of true holiness, even, I think, more in detail. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, in verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Old man, the old nature. God says you got to put it off. You can't live the life of Christ. You can't live true holiness until you put off the old nature and get the nature of Christ in that new heart and new spirit. He said you put off concerning the former conversation, and in the New Testament, and in the Bible, the word conversation don't mean just your oratory or your vocal cords are eliciting, your speech, your words. It's talking about your lifestyle, your whole behavior pattern, that you put off concerning your former lifestyle, that old nature, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And the lust that we're born with, that old nature, is very deceitful. And it said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, that new nature, which after God is created. Now listen to this creation. Here's the way God created him, in righteousness and true holiness. See, there's a true holiness and there's a phony holiness. Most Christians go along with this phony holiness, you know. Oh, God just looks at the heart. God looks at you all over. Your whole body, soul, and spirit must be preserved blameless according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We must be preserved blameless, our whole body, soul, and spirit unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it includes your body. It includes your lifestyle, which is physical, which is something that is manifestly physical by the five senses. Something you can hear, something you can see, something you can comprehend and understand by the five senses. It's apparent. And the Lord is interested in the outward man just like he is the inward man. However, the outward man has to be renewed, the mind, the soul, the spirit, the heart. We have to put on that new man. Well, when we get the new man, he's got a new heart. He's got a new mind. He's got a completely new nature. Praise God. And he's totally new. And that makes us a new creation, which is capable, if we want to live the life of Jesus Christ in true holiness. Then he says, put away lying and speak the truth every man with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Don't give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Let no bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, let it all be put away from you with all malice. Be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There are some of the requisites or the virtues that manifest themselves from that nature that is created in the righteousness of God and in the true holiness of God. And we can live the life of Jesus if we have the nature of Jesus. Now, being we have the capacity or the ability to live holy, then what does God, his demand is not unreasonable, that he said live holy. If he's given us a nature that is holy and created in the form of Christ in true holiness, then we don't have any real alibi excuse that God will accept that we don't live the life of God and the life of Christ in true holiness. You ain't got no excuse. God gives you all the possibility in that new nature which is created in righteousness and true holiness. Praise God. And we renewed in the spirit of our mind. And then we have the ability, we have a capacity there to live the life of Jesus Christ, and God requires it of us. Now, in Hebrews 12, we need to take heed to this. This is one of the great scriptures in the Bible on holiness. Well, I'll just quote it to you. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Makes it pretty definite, doesn't it? That without holiness, and true holiness is the only kind of holiness God knows. It's the only kind he possesses and the only kind he accepts. Anything else is phony, it's hypocritical. And God does not accept it. He requires true holiness to be lived as a total lifestyle. Not just holiness of heart, but holiness of dress, holiness of mind, holiness of thoughts, our character, our ways, and all about us, our thoughts must be holy to please God who gave us this wonderful new nature with an ability and a capacity to live the life of Jesus Christ. Now, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, it continues, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And you know how, that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, and he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now we have a word there. Holiness is the main word, but there's another word that is almost equal in God's warning here, and that is profane. Lest there be any profane person. A profane person is a person who is irreverent toward God's holiness. He doesn't respect the things that God has labeled holy. Praise God. His Spirit's holy. You can't fool with the Holy Ghost. You can't mess with him unless you live a holy life. He won't mess with you. He'll convict you, but he will not get in there and direct your life and be the guiding star in your life, the guiding motivating force in your life unless you do live holy. He's a holy spirit of God, and God's a holy God, and he won't live in an unclean temple.